again on this lovely Thursday evening. I welcome you with all my heart. I love every one of you unconditionally, just the way you are. All is well. Everything is unfolding as it should. There are no mistakes. Everything is in its right place. I receive many phone calls, as most of you know, from people all over the world. And I always enjoy sharing the interesting ones with you. I received a phone call recently from Denver. And this gentleman asked me, "Robert, can you tell me the easiest way to become self-realized? What is the direct path? The real direct path. We don't have to do any work. How can I become self-realized? I've been practicing Atma Vichara, self-inquiry, for 16 years. Prior to that, I practiced Vipassana meditation. I've done yoga, I've done everything. But nothing's ever happened. Is there a way where I can awaken through a simple practice?" And I laughed and I said, "It's really interesting that most Westerners want to be enlightened in one weekend. And it's taken you so many years to be where you are right now. And even though you've been practicing for many years, think of how many years you've been the way you are. It's a drop in the bucket. There is a way where a person is ready to awaken, and that way is to stop thinking. Stop thinking. And he said, "That sounds good, but how do you do it?" So this evening we're going to have a class on three steps to mind control. Three steps to mind control. It is true, when the mind becomes quiescent, quiet, still, realization comes all by itself. And it's absolutely necessary that you have to do to bring it about. As an example, the sun shines all by itself. Let's call the sun the self, consciousness, pure awareness. Yet every once in a while, clouds form beneath the sun. And the sun doesn't seem to shine any longer. Thousands of years ago, people built statues, idols, gods, temples to the sun. So the sun would come out and shine once more. But now it's sort of evolved. We no longer build statues to the sun or pray to the sun to shine. We realize that the clouds will dissipate soon, and the sun will once again shine in all its glory and all its splendor. Your thoughts are the clouds. Whenever you think, no matter what you think about, as long as you think, you are covering up the sun, which is the self. It makes no difference if you're thinking good thoughts or bad thoughts or any kind of thoughts. All thoughts are clouds. All thoughts. And you cover up the sun. And so it is, your true nature is the self. You are really the self. All pervading reality. It is your source that covers up the self. Whenever you allow yourself to think, you cover up the self more and more and more. As you read various books, as you take different courses, as you go to different teachers, those are only coverings for the self. That's all you're doing, is covering up the self. The self will shine all by itself when you stop thinking. Stop thinking. Totally unconditionally. Stop thinking. I will give you the three steps first, I won't talk about them. The three steps of mind control. One is to stop talking. Stop talking. Two, have no opinions for or against. Three, netty netty, not this, not this. We will start with stop talking. Has all of your talking since the beginning when you first were born? Has your talking made any difference in this world? Has this world become a better world in which to live by your talking? Have you really accomplished anything by talking? Sometimes you appear to have accomplished something. But not really. By talking you accomplish very little. Asians, Hindus, American Indians, really talk very little. Most of them realize that talking is a waste of time. And when they become westernized, they begin to talk like us. Talk, 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 talk. They become a part of the gigantic talking school. And they've been talking forever, never stopping. If you recall stories about American Indians, they will listen to the white man talk, and tell them all kind of nonsense. And then they will say, Ugh. Ugh. That's their answer. And they were saying, buddy, you wasted all my time talking nonsense. You don't mean the word that you're saying. This is as much talking as we should do. Ugh. Let's all say Ugh. That's it. What else can you say? Many of you go to lunch with me. I notice I hardly ever say anything. And some of you tell me all of your troubles. That's okay. I'm here to listen. But you notice I never answer. I grunt. I just say, Which means I'm listening to you, I acknowledge what you're saying. But it doesn't mean anything. So I grunt, Let's all grunt, That's the best thing you've said all day. Talking has never done anything for you. And when you stop talking, things begin to happen. For every time you talk, you use a lot of energy. The mind has to think what you're going to say. It all happens instantaneously. For every word that you say, there's a thought that precedes it. In other words, you have to think about the word that you're saying. Yet most of you do not understand this because you talk so much, and so many words come out, and you say, this is all spontaneous. But yet the mind has to think about every word that you speak. And whenever you speak, you're clearing your mind up with stuff. Clearing the mind to become agitated. And the words are never really any good anyway. Think of all the talking you've done since you were born. Think of all the talking politicians do. Lawyers. Doctors. And the world is worse because of it. If no one ever said a word, the power which knows the way would take over, and peace and joy would reign in this earth. As an example, take an orange tree. Does the orange tree have to talk about growing oranges or discuss it with the next tree? The orange tree doesn't say a word. Yes, lovely oranges grow all over the tree by itself. Wheat grows in the wheat fields. Bananas grow on banana trees. The sun shines just right to make everything sustained and maintained in the correct way. No talking is done, nothing is happening. But everything is happening. And so is with us. When we learn to shut up, by keeping quiet, I'm not talking about thinking thoughts in your mind. I'm talking about keeping quiet and keeping still in the mind also. Things will happen all by themselves. Everything is predestined in any event. Everything is predestined in any event. So everything will unfold the way it's supposed to. It doesn't need any help from you. Every step of your life has been outlined. Every move you make has been determined before you were born. Therefore, you don't have to argue about anything. There's no reason to debate about anything. Just keep still. This is the meaning of be still and know that I am God. Be still and know that I am God. Not talk and know I am God. But be still. Reminding Maharshi never used to talk. Sages and yanis hardly ever talk at all. I used to sit in the old hall in Ramana Ashram at the corner and watch Ramana handling the people. They would all line up to talk to him, to see him. And he would just stare at them. They would tell him all the troubles. He wouldn't say anything. Sometimes he would utter a few words that were necessary. I recall one instance when a person came to him from the Punjab, frustrated before him and told him all of the troubles. For about 15 minutes they were talking and talking and talking. And the man looked at his attendant and he said, he comes here to tell me all of his troubles. To whom shall I tell mine? Meaning that he was the embodiment of consciousness, of pure awareness. There's no one higher to go to. Or to see. So whom shall he tell his troubles to? And so it is with us. We think we have problems. We think we have troubles. We think we have something wrong with our lives. But in truth and reality, those are the clouds I was talking about. All these so-called problems are only clouds. They're covering yourself. And as long as you identify with the problems or the clouds, it becomes thicker and thicker and thicker, covering yourself more and more and more. And yourself becomes hidden. So that you forget even to think about yourself. Your mind is continuously on your problems, on your affairs, and on your nonsense. Stop talking. Everything happens in sounds. Everything is happening in the invisible world. Everything. Do not believe that your words matter. Think of all the beautiful words that have been written down in books for us. The words of Socrates, Plato, Aristotle, Emerson, Thoreau, Walt Whitman, and so forth and so on. How beautiful the words are. But they made a difference in the world, they made a dent in the world. Look at the world. What have they done for this world? It would be better if you never heard of these people at all. For people take refuge in their words, and the world becomes worse and worse. So we have to come to the conclusion that words are not the answer. Talking is not the answer. Trying to straighten people out and get your way with people is not the answer. Trying to win arguments and trying to win the point of view is not the answer. Stop talking. We come to step number two in mind control. Have no feelings for or against. For or against anything. Look at everything the same way. Do not differentiate too much with things. This means you have to reconcile yourself with the whole universe. With the mineral kingdom, the vegetable kingdom, the animal kingdom, and the human kingdom. You have to see differences. I know this is sort of hard for most people. But yet, if you want to awaken, you can see differences within people, within things. It's like going to a play. One person is a good guy, the next person is a bad guy. And you take sides with a good guy. Then the play is over. And there was never really a good guy or a bad guy, just a play. Actors playing a part. Therefore, there's differences in your mind. It is your mind that creates differences. An example that I always use is the keyhole. You come to a door and you look through the keyhole. And you see Mahatma Gandhi getting shot. That's all you can see. You become very angry. You say to yourself, I see the murderer. Let's get him and hang him and shoot him. He killed Mahatma Gandhi. But then you open the door. And you see the whole picture that you were able to see through the keyhole. You look to the left and it says previous lives. Previously, Mahatma Gandhi and the murderer in different roles. In a previous life, Mahatma Gandhi was a murderer, and the murderer was Mahatma Gandhi. And the murderer shed Mahatma Gandhi. And people shed the murderer. They were both dead. And you look and you notice they're in the astral plane now. And they're talking about it and they say, well, it looks like you've chalked up some karma for yourself. Why don't we do this? Why don't we come back again to the third plane? And this time, I'll be the murderer and you'll be Mahatma Gandhi. And I say, okay, let's do that. This is the way to transcend karma. So you appear at this time, and the scene takes place that you watch through the keyhole. But before you only saw one scene, now you see the whole picture. Then you look to the right, and see both people again, laughing and smiling with each other. And you begin to realize nobody was murdered and there was no murderer. Nobody was killed, nobody dies. No one is born. No one prevails. You've gotten the whole picture. So when you see certain things in your personal life, to whom do you become angry? Who offends you? You're only seeing a small part of the picture. You're not seeing the complete picture. You're only seeing the part that you're involved in. That's all you can see. If you saw the whole picture, you'd see nobody's right, nobody's wrong. What's happening to you is really karmic. As long as you keep reacting to things, you have to do it again and again and again and again, and you'll never stop. But so you start laughing at yourself. And you begin to understand this is all God's lila. It's all a play of consciousness. All of life is a play of consciousness. Nobody's right, nobody's wrong. And your duty is to get out of this play. You say to yourself, I do not wish to play any longer. I don't want to play this game anymore. I want to be free. Liberated. And when you make up your mind to be free and liberated, then you'll be led in this straight, narrow path where you have to go to meet the right people, the right teachers, right dharma, right action. And you'll never be involved again. Have no opinion for or against. Now we come to the third step of mind control. What's a nothing, nothing, not this, not this? If you wish to awaken, you have to deny the whole world. The whole world has to be denied by you. In other words, everything that you see has to be denied. From the moment you get out of bed, all the thoughts that come to you, what your eyes see, what your ears hear, what your mouth tastes, what your nose smells, it all has to be denied. These things have nothing to do with me, you have to say to yourself. And I have nothing to do with these things. I am pure awareness. I am not the body nor the mind. I am pure consciousness. And you keep on denying your thoughts, denying your life, denying what you see all around you, the day will come in your life when you become absolutely free. Because you're no longer attached to a person, place, or thing. And you're no longer reacting to life's vicissitudes. You have freed yourself totally and completely. This is what you must do. Stop talking. Have no opinions for or against. And deny everything that you see. What are you doing with your life right now? Where are you going with it? Are you really happy? Totally happy? If you only realized who you were, it would be virtually impossible not to think you're happy. For happiness would come by itself. Happiness and the self are the same thing. There's no difference. As you begin to see everybody as yourself, a whole new world opens up for you. The rest is up to you. You can begin practicing these things we just discussed. Or you can go on the way you've been going on with your life up to this point. What are you going to do? It's up to you. Be still and know that I am God. Feel free to ask questions.
Yeah, I have some. You said that everything's predetermined. My impression is that Lord Krishna told Arjuna that he had the right to action but not to the fruit of action. And implicit in that is that Arjuna, or me, has a choice whether or not to do something, whereas the outcome is not in his hands. You want to comment on that?
Yes. Since he's not a doer, then nobody's really doing anything. But he appears to be going into battle to fight, because this is destiny.
It sounds as though he had a choice of whether or not to go into battle.
Not really. It was supposed to be going, that's why Christian songs are going to battle and fight. Remember, Arjuna didn't want to fight, he wanted to break his sword and not to fight at all. But Krishna told him to go into battle and fight. This was his duty. This was his karma, to go and fight. But not to be concerned with the fruits of the action. Which means even though he was told to go into fight, into the battle, whether he's killed or he's not killed, it doesn't matter because nobody dies, nobody's born. This is what he explained to him. He said that even though you get killed, you will be a hero. And if you don't get killed, you will be a hero also. Because you fought in the battle. So don't worry whether you get killed or not. It doesn't matter. Because in truth, nobody dies. So go and fight. That was his message to Arjuna.
In other words, everything is just an appearance of consciousness.
Exactly. But Arjuna, remember, was not enlightened. Krishna realized Arjuna didn't understand any of these things that was explained to him. So he told him to go fight like he was supposed to, because he was born in the warrior class. He was a warrior, so it was his duty to fight. But not to be concerned with the outcome.
But he has to follow his dharma.
Exactly, yes.
Otherwise the guy wouldn't be a warrior.
Yes.
Another thing I've been thinking about, comparing the dream state to the waking state. From sound asleep, all of a sudden, out of nothing, all kinds of people, places, and things are witnessed. And all kinds of emotions, and everything, and thoughts, and all kinds of things, and after a little bit, they disappeared. And it seems to me that we're inclined to think that that dream is unreal. But the same things that happen in the waking state we consider real. Whereas the truth of the matter is that both states are equally real or equally unreal, whichever way we want to look at it.
Indeed. Yes, you're absolutely right. And we can only feel and realize that we're living the mortal dream right now. This is a mortal dream. And all the nonsense we're going on with just keeps us dreaming longer and longer. The foolishness that we go on with every day, the fighting and the anger and the nonsense that we go on with every day, keeps us bound to this mortal dream. Keeps us dreaming, in other words. We'll keep on dreaming until we let go. And we stop fighting. We stop.
Don't
we become non-attached. Then we will awaken and be free.
Another thing I was thinking about. I think I mentioned this not long ago that it's equally important to do self-inquiry or vichara when we feel good. Is when we feel bad, because if everything is going beautifully, we can this is great, I've got it made, and there's no pressure on us to do anything that might conceivably make a difference, which would be maybe some karma yoga or devotional exercises or even keeping the body moving. Because if we feel good, we may get into thinking we're where we're supposed to be.
This is true what you're saying. We should always be aware of what's going on in our lives. We should be totally aware of what we're doing and work out our karma. We're not reacting to things. Not allowing things to bother us, to annoy us. By realizing what's happening all the time, we become free. By becoming mindful. Watching ourselves continuously. Seeing the way we react to things. Watch the way we respond to a situation that comes to us. This is what frees us. But we just go through life, allowing life to make us feel a certain way. Then we have to go through it over and over again, and never end. So the time has to come in everybody's life when they surrender to themselves. You inquire who's experiencing these things, who's going through all this, and realize the I thought that's going through everything, not you. That you have nothing to do with this at all, you have absolutely nothing to do with it. And you follow the I thought to the source. And then we become free. But if you don't do this, you'll have to repeat the same thing again and again, like you're saying. The same thing will happen to you again and again and again. Until you stop reacting to it. Until you begin to see it as it really is. A product of your thoughts. And you treat it like a thought. Not the same, but the thought. Then when the thought is gone, the right action will take place in your life. It's all like this to remove the thoughts. The thoughts cause the confusion and your action. Once the thoughts are removed, there's nobody to act. You shine as a self, as consciousness.
So to something else, one message tells me I'm perfect. And my thought is, what he means by that is not the opposite of imperfect, but the fact that nothing needs to be added, nothing needs to be changed in any area. My real nature is Satchitananda or any of the other things that make
it. Yes, of course.
Right.
This is all our real nature. Everybody's nature is that. Everybody's nature is perfection. Like I gave you an example before, the sun. Everyone is the sun. Everyone shines perfectly. But we have a lot of clouds of illusion to cover the sun. And the clouds of illusion make us feel something is wrong someplace. And we try to correct it, and that's where the trouble begins. When we begin correcting things.
It's all what Fritz Perl said, that there are many things that are too important to be taken seriously.
Yes.
Because if we'd be taken seriously, we think maybe there's something we can do about it.
True.